Welcome back to the Up to the Miners podcast. I'm your host, Connor Ramson, and with me, as usual, he's the Samuel Montembeau to my Sergei Bobrovsky. It is TJ Rust, everybody.
Now, because I remember him being in Montreal.
He's still in Montreal.
Oh, okay. What happened?
The reason I brought this up is because currently there's a Montreal Canadiens versus Florida Panthers game that has just ended the first period. They're playing right now.
Funny, I forget that we do this during other games. Other teams play when, yeah.
So, they're playing right now. Do you want me to tell you what the score is? And just by the way, there's a reason I mentioned both goaltenders.
It's bad. Is it bad? It's
very funny.
6-9.
7-3.
Oh, 6-9 would have been funnier.
6-9 is always funnier. But what's amazing about this game is... Well, first of all, it's got less funny as the period went on because they actually started making saves. But I first noticed that this was happening about 10 minutes in. So halfway through the period.
Okay.
Samuel Montembeau had already been pulled after allowing 3 goals on 6 shots.
Okay.
Jake Allen had come in and allowed 2 goals on 4 shots.
Okay.
So both of the Montreal goalies were making 50% of the saves.
Yeah, no, that's not a great save percentage.
Sergei Bobrovsky has currently allowed 3 goals on 6 shots, which is the same pace as they were on. But Sergei Bobrovsky has made 3 saves in a row. Oh, my God. At that time, he had not made a save, and he had let in 3 goals.
So wait, it's 6-3 still.
It's 7-3.
Oh, 7-3. Sorry, 7-3. I had 6 because 6-9.
Yeah,
7-3 is still the score. And how much is left to play?
2 periods.
So it's 1 period deep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jake Allen is currently the best goaltender in the game, rocking a .667 save percentage, and he has allowed 4 goals.
Oh my God. Well, I mean, Florida could use the points.
They could.
So at least they're really hammering at home.
But isn't that something?
God. Well, so who's their backup? Who's Florida's backup?
Well, it was Spencer Knight, but I believe he's on.
No, he's in the. I know he's in the player
rehabilitation
assistant. Yes,
program.
Yes. So, he's. You know, we can assume that
assistance. That's right. I was trying to remember the terminology you're supposed to use.
Because
you're not supposed to say like the league rehab program,
but that's what it is. But it's
that's
for
absolutely
everything,
what
right?
It is, but you're not.
But it is
for everything. It's like mental
it's
health.
Broad, and, yes, exactly. Yeah. It's a broad statement for mental health or coke addiction or I like a hooker once in a while. That's
I know. I think you're supposed to think it's
like. Well, anytime they say that, it sounds like he's a cokehead, which yeah. I know is wrong because it's. It could be anything.
It's
but,
just because they're hockey players.
But it's because they're hockey players. You just go, oh, it's blow, and they're doing a little too much.
Their backup tonight is someone named Mac Guzda, who I suppose is a real person, probably.
Okay, so yeah, I was going to say.
The first I've ever heard of him. But
no, I don't even know who else they would have, because it was always, like, the whole time it was Bobrovsky and Spencer Knight.
Yeah.
Like, that was the tandem for like the last 2 years.
Well, I suppose what they're shooting for is that if they can score 7 goals per period, then it doesn't actually matter how
well
Bobrovsky plays.
You could put
Montreal probably won't get 21 shots tonight, so
you could put David Ayers in that, and
you could put David Ayers in that,
probably win by more.
He'd probably be doing better. Anyways, enough of that. I found it fascinating and felt like I had to bring it up.
Now,
last night.
Sorry, we'll get
please,
to last night.
Please.
Shut your mouth. No, I'm kidding. Are the Oilers playing tonight?
I can check.
Because I am on a real deep dive to see if McDavid's going to hit like 65 goals.
Well, you'll have to wait until Saturday when they play the Seattle Kraken.
Okay. Because he's at what, 56 goals?
Yes.
I believe he's at 56, which is insane with how much is left in the season.
It really is. Well, it's insane, period, but yeah. They have 14 games left, and he has 56 goals. So if he scores a goal a game, that's 70.
Which is mind-blowing.
Yeah, and 65 is – he needs 10 to have the post-lockout record, which is still Ovechkin getting 65.
65, okay. Because when Matthews got 60 last year, it was like – it was pretty – I don't know if it was just because it was us.
Yeah.
But it was a pretty big deal.
I think it's just, you know, yeah, it just is a big deal. No one really does that anymore.
No, that's fair. But I mean, he's at a clip that is unbelievable.
Yeah, well, he is, you know, the best player. He's insane. He's incredible. He has like 30 more points than the next guy who's on his team and has most of his points because he plays with McDavid. I mean, it's just like...
It's funny when you see those stats together because it is a little bit of nepotism. Because you're like, one doesn't happen without the other. Like, it's weird that they would... I get it. He's got 100 points, but he only has 100 points because McDavid has 130.
Yes, absolutely. Otherwise, he'd be like, you know, he'd still be up there. But
I think he'd be good, but he would not be at 100.
He wouldn't be even close, no. He wouldn't be leading. Like, he wouldn't be the next highest in the league.
No.
I still think it's absolutely insane that they gave him an MVP award. Absolutely absurd.
They what? They
gave him an MVP award, didn't they?
Who? Draisaitl?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I believe it.
I remember us arguing about it, so I assume that he did it.
Yeah, McDavid should win it every time.
Well, he should definitely win it now. Because this is just ridiculous.
Well, it is funny when sometimes people talk about like other arguments or other candidates for the MVP, and you're like, you're just doing this because you kind of have to.
Yeah, I feel like they also do this thing, and this is in all sports, and I'm going to use like a basketball example for this because I can't think of a hockey one right now. But like, I hate when people say like, should blank be in the discussion for the MVP, and then they name some dude who could like maybe finish like sixth, and you're like, no, because like the discussion is winning it. Like, we can all look at, you know, Matthew Tkachuk and be like, wow, he's having a great year, but like, no, he doesn't deserve to be in the discussion to win the award.
No, he's an afterthought in the sense where it's not even close to actually being number one.
Yeah, although in fairness, he might get like 37 points tonight against Montreal. So.
That's actually a good point. He might catch McDavid at this pace.
Yeah, I mean, who even knows?
That's so wild.
Well, I got to see Hart Trophy winner Austin Matthews play hockey last night. And Rocket Richard. And possibly future Selke Trophy winner Austin Matthews.
I think Marner will win it before him.
And Norris Trophy winner Cale Makar.
Oh, I mean, the fact that you got to see the Stanley Cup champions was pretty sick, I bet.
That was very cool. Yeah, because they're a very good team. Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar, very fun to watch. Yeah. Slightly less fun to watch when you're hoping that the team that they're playing is going to win.
Of course.
But also quite cool.
No, I mean, it. I will say, it's awesome that you went. It seemed like a boring game.
It kind of was
a horrible one to go. No, I'm kidding.
But I disagree because when you're at the game, it's always exciting.
That's fair. No, you're right. You're right. At home, it can be a little boring when it's a 1-1 draw and nobody scored in basically
100. Yeah. The whole game.
Yeah. Like second, third overtime, like no goals. And you're like, all right, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
But you're right. When you're at the game, sometimes and I find this at the bar too. If you're at the bar, it doesn't matter. The game can be kind of shit, but you're out and you're glancing over once in a while. Like,
it's more exciting. Usually,
yeah, it's way more exciting. But so you had a good time.
I had a great time. I'm a big when I go to games and stuff, I'm a big jersey checker. I like to see what jerseys people are wearing. I'm a big fan of that. Can I just give you some of the classics?
Give me the top 10.
Some of the classics.
Give me the top 2.
I don't know if
two.
I got 10, but let me give you some classics.
Give me 10.
Here. I saw a guy wearing an autographed Kyle Wellwood Leafs jersey.
Okay.
A classic. I saw a guy wearing a Sean Matthias Leafs jersey. Sean Mathias.
That's weird. That's a weird one to get.
I saw someone with a brand new, and I know it's brand new because these haven't been out for very long, sparkly gold OVO Leafs jersey, Joe Wool.
Joe. Wow. Like a Leafs jersey, not a Marlies? Because I'm assuming Marley's.
No, it's too. A Leafs jersey. No. Yeah, because it's the new OVO gold, like Drake-style Leaf jerseys.
Oh, they did one?
Why they were selling them at that? The game, yeah. They're like sparkly gold.
Are they new?
And black, yes. And they're sparkly gold and black. And he had bought a Joe Wool.
I got to look this up because those sound sick.
It was pretty cool. But I also, I didn't really like that it was like sparkly gold. It was a little Golden Knights-y. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like it's a little too shiny on the, like, yes. Like, especially like, oh, these ones?
Yes. Wait, no, that's not it. No. They're yellow and black.
Okay. Sorry. These ones.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. That's it.
Okay. It looks kind of like the Drew jersey though.
It does. Yeah. It's a little too yellow and not enough like gold. You know what I mean?
But I like the skyline.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Oh, okay, so these are fucking brand new. Why would they have a Joseph Wool one at the store?
I don't know. Maybe he got it custom made.
That's true. That's a possibility that he like went all out and just custom got a jersey that was like just Joseph Wool, and they were
He's
just
a huge fan. Or maybe it's his brother. I don't know. But absolutely ridiculous.
That'd be funny. If it
was like, okay, he's not even here tonight.
No. Okay.
Yeah, so some pretty wild jerseys.
Okay, but what did you see from the game that you liked or hated? Because I hated the shootout.
The shootout was rough. I hated overtime. Jake McCabe was pretty bad. Not just the part where he scored on his own net, but like he kept like trying to step up at the blue line for like big hits, and he kept missing and getting blocked. And then the only time he actually connected, he hit, I think it was Lars Eller, and he got like put on his ass. And I was like, really, dude?
Well, he also, what do you call it? He ran in on the play a few times and got a couple shots off.
Yep.
Which, I mean, would be great if he scored.
Or hit the net even.
Hit the net. But
the Leafs had kind of figured something out a little bit with that like thing with the left shot defenseman being able to sneak in. I think it was Marner who was picking them up because, I mean, Morgan Rielly hit the post and then scored inside of the first minute on like the same play twice. Marner did the exact same pass to him two times in a row, and he hit the post and then scored.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, they had something there for sure. Let's see. Justin Hall was pretty good.
Get out of here.
He was. I was pretty impressed. Had a good game.
That good, eh?
Marner was amazing.
Marner's always sick until he got to the shootout, which was like...
That was pretty bad.
Like, it seemed like he was just trying too hard.
In fairness, all of them were pretty bad.
No, you're right. But like, it seemed like he was really going for...
Actually, all of them on both teams, except for McKinnon, were pretty bad. That was actually the only good like shootout attempt, and he scored.
McKinnon came in like fast as a dart.
He was the only guy who seemed like he actually knew what he wanted to do before he got there.
That's a good point, actually. A lot of even Marner seemed kind of like lost, where he's like, I'll see what am I going
to do? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, McKinnon knew. McKinnon was amazing, and Makar was amazing. I mean, like, both of them, like, the both of them, when they would pick up the puck and just, like, open up their legs and really, like, start flying, it was, I mean, they're insanely fast.
Yeah.
And McKinnon is faster, but, like, Makar is a little bit more, like, agile, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes when McKinnon would do it, McKinnon was insane to watch, like, when he got up to full speed. Because, like, it's honestly, it's so much faster than you can even, like, imagine. I can only imagine what watching McDavid is like.
It's such a good point.
The way McKinnon skates up the ice, he just appears at the far blue line. Like, it's incredible. But, like, also, he'll sometimes just, like, skate into, like, three guys and lose the puck. Whereas Makar is almost that fast, but, like, he, like, picks, like, this, like, incredible path until all of a sudden he's, like, dangled three guys and he's right in front of the net. You're like, what the fuck?
No, so, and
that was really cool.
He had, like, a great rush where he basically went end-to-end.
Yes. It was amazing.
Which I'm sure from the stands looked
it was absolutely
beautiful.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Yeah. Just amazing stuff.
But also, like, I know the Leafs were held to like 20 shots. What was it?
Yeah, they didn't get a lot going. It didn't seem that uneven of a game, really, even though the Leafs weren't really getting shots off. Mm. It seemed like the chances were kind of even. It was just like the Leafs would make a pass that would lead to a chance, and they would hit like a skate or a stick or something and not get there. Right. Whereas like the Avalanche would do the same thing, but then just Samsonov would save it.
Yeah.
The Leafs was more like goaltending and the Avalanche was more like defense. I almost lost my microphone there.
Well, but, because the Rodriguez shot, like Samsonov came out like he was a couple feet out of
the way out of the net. Yeah. But no, he looked confident.
Perfect. Very aggressive. He
looked confident. You know what's cool also? I was watching them both warm up and Georgiev was like really like, before the game, he was like really twitchy and he was like doing all these like extra warm up stuff and like moving his hands around.
You got there early. You got there early.
Samsonov just stood there. He stood in the middle of the net, just looking straight forward. And I was like, this is weird, but like, it's kind of cool. Also, he just looks so like relaxed.
Okay. He's not like calm. Completely, but he might be completely insane.
Yeah, but like, I'll take it.
Oh,
just to make saves.
Well, you know, goalies got to be complete nutbags, right?
Yeah, like, exactly. And I mean, like, you know, Georgiev's out here punching people and doing whatever.
Well, I mean, speaking of punch, did you see the Fleury bidding? I'm sure you had that. Sorry.
Let them fight.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree.
What was that? Why didn't they let them fight? I don't even understand
when's
that.
But when's the last time they let a goalie fight happen?
Why do they keep saving Jordan Binnington?
I don't know.
Just let him get his ass kicked. Like, why do they keep protecting him? Just let him get beat up.
It's weird because they suspended him.
Did you see the clip with Marc-Andre Fleury? How he's like mic'd?
Yeah, he's mic'd. And he's like,
very
let's go.
Funny. When he's like, no, it'll be great. It'll be fun. He always wants to fight. Like, let me do this. And I was like, he was just saying what all of us were thinking.
No, he's very tuned in because he's clearly thinking what everybody else is thinking. And he's like, let's just get it over with.
It was also very funny when he asked the linesman if he could go pick up his helmet at the end of it because he was like, no, I don't like my hair like this. Let me cover it up.
No, it's and they suspended him for two games. So like I don't know.
I don't even understand what he got suspended. I think he got suspended for punching.
Yeah, Ryan Hartman.
He gets suspended. So like it's an automatic suspension for a goalie if you punch someone with your blocker.
Blocker. You can't blocker somebody.
Yeah.
Which is fair,
yeah.
But also I think they suspended him because they're like, calm down.
I know, yeah, he's just being, like, just weird. I gotta say, though, like, I'm kind of 50-50 on it, because, like, he's an idiot and a crazy person and whatever, but some of the people, like, I've seen complaining online, like, the journalists and stuff, were like, oh my god, like, this is a disgrace to the game, and like he's unhinged, and like he's gonna hurt somebody. I'm like, he's hurt zero people. Like, out of all of these temper tantrums, he has not hurt a single person.
No, it
hasn't even come close.
No, and I think the part of the fun with him is everybody hopes he does something like that, and someone just beats him up.
Exactly.
Like, it's not that we hate that he's doing it. We hate that he hasn't gotten punched in the face for doing it.
We hate that he keeps getting away with it.
We hate that he keeps getting away with it. Like, that's the problem, right?
That's literally it. That's the only thing anyone cares about.
Like, he could do that the whole time.
Yeah. Just let Marc-Andre Fleury kick his ass.
Just let Marc-Andre Fleury go in there and give him a couple punches to the nose, and we'll all be happy with it.
Yeah, I don't understand.
The rest of his career.
I know. They're like, oh my god, like, he's a danger to other players. I'm like, he is not a danger to other players. No one is worried about Jordan Binnington. There's not a single person on that rink who is even the slightest bit worried about Jordan Binnington.
No chance.
Did you see Alex Goligoski, who, like, for the record, I thought was retired?
What did he say?
He scored after the whole goalie thing. Uh-huh. And you know how Binnington was, like, doing this and trying to pump up the crowd? He, like, did it after, like, looking at Binnington. It was really funny.
I love it though. I like
Is Alex Goligoski not retired, apparently?
No, no. I knew he was on the Minnesota because I pay attention and I also play Chell.
Yeah, it's definitely mostly 99% that you play Chell.
So those are the reasons.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's the big story of the day, but like I just don't understand why what it's like. I guess it's a little bit entertaining and interesting because no one else acts like that, but
I don't know. it's just weird that he hasn't had it to, you know, pay for his sins. But
yeah. I don't know why they don't let like someone fight him.
Right, because I think Marc-Andre Fleury would have kicked his ass.
I think so, too. I think that's why Marc-Andre Fleury wanted to do it, because he was like, I'm going to be the guy who kicks his ass. It's going to be great. Also, what a legendary moment that would have been. Marc-Andre Fleury, who everyone likes, beating up Jordan Binnington, who everyone hates.
Yeah,
that
would have been
an all-time great moment that we got robbed of.
It would have been like a Marvel movie. Like, like everybody would have been stoked. But
Flower Man.
It's so funny.
I don't know. I wish we got to see it.
Yeah, maybe next time.
Yeah, hopefully. I don't know. Who's the biggest goalie in the NHL?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah. Because the obvious one was Ben Bishop, but he's gone.
No, Ben Bishop's gone. Oh, Markstrom.
Markstrom is pretty big.
Markstrom's like 6'6".
Yeah, I would definitely watch Markstrom beat Thast.
Oh, the Swede?
That'd be fun. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Markstrom can't. Actually, I don't think Markstrom can fight. So,
well, he's big, though.
We would go for Robin Leonard.
Wow.
If he ever comes back.
Listen, he's too busy Tiger Kinging it up with all his lizards and lawsuits.
that's true. But maybe he'll come out of retirement just for one game against the Blues.
Yeah, he's got his hands full.
All right, well, I guess we should probably talk about some of these trades because we have an entire trade deadline worth of stuff that we did not talk about because we only talked about these trades.
Which is really what's important.
Yes, it is. But also, this is like the biggest trade deadline that's like ever happened.
Well, it was like, obviously, it's been said before, but like it was a couple weeks before.
Yeah, the actual deadline day was a bit of a bummer.
Yeah, it was a bit of a snooze fest, but before that, I mean, it was unbelievable.
The 2 weeks were incredible. I mean, the trades were just flying in. I don't know why all these teams would decided to do it like early. Seems weird, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Because that's the thing is everybody said like the reason they do it early is so they get them acclimated faster. But it's also like, it's not like if they didn't get acclimated, you would trade them away.
It's
right?
Like 2 weeks.
Yeah. Like you've set it in stone already. It's not like you would acquire O'Reilly, play him for 3 games and go, well, it didn't work out. Let's trade him at the deadline. Like you're sticking to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I heard that a lot. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, we're going to, you know, we want them to get acclimated. It's like, well, it's not like if it didn't work, you were going to get rid of them. So
no, and like how much is that extra 2 weeks, really?
So you might have gotten a better deal if you let the pressure of the deadline come on and be like, hey, like, you should take this deal.
I mean, the perfect example of this is the first trade we're going to talk about, because I think this is a team who probably should have waited and done this later. The New Jersey Devils traded they acquired Timo Meier, Scott Harrington, and two other guys whose names I didn't bother listing because they're not important, for a first, a conditional first, Shakir Mohamedoulin, Zetterlund, Andreas Janssen, and another guy who I didn't know.
Yes. No, it was a lot of weird names and alphabet soup that I was not good at reading.
So Timo Meier was like the bell of the ball.
Yeah. I guess Patrick Kane wasn't an option to be the bell of the ball because he already had a date.
Yeah. It decided months in advance.
And
the New York Rangers had already promposed.
They promposed to Patrick Kane and they had no other choice but to go with him. Or them. So yeah, it was.
Well, Patrick Kane knows all about not having a choice.
Yeah. Oh, Allegedly. I guess that wasn't
alleged. Allegedly, yeah.
No, it's not, isn't it?
It is alleged. It's alleged.
Oh, I thought it was proven in court.
It's proven technically. I guess it was. No, I don't know. It was a weird situation.
All right, allegedly.
It doesn't matter. I can still make fun of it, okay?
Yeah, I agree. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just don't want to get, you know. Listen, sued. If we're getting sued, it's your ass.
If we're getting sued, it's going to be by Tony D'Angelo's people anyway. So
wow, listen, fine. We can get to him because he speared me in the nuts.
So two firsts, two top prospects who may or may not be good, and a Andreas Janssen cap dump.
Yeah, I don't know. Two firsts and like a couple, like at least a guy or two that will probably play on your team is not a bad return. I know people are shitting on it a little bit, but it's not that bad.
I don't think Mohamed Doolin is very good. Okay. I think he kind of sucks.
You think it's a bad return for
San Jose?
San Jose. No, I agree with that.
Because I think Mohamed Doolin kind of sucks, and those first round picks are going to be pretty late. So, like, I don't know. If it's like the 25th pick and the 26th pick, and then like a first round pick who they've already made and is kind of bad.
No, like, I think.
It's really, I think, like, I don't know.
I think it's not. It's a pretty good deal on New Jersey's end. It just, I think the confusing part for a lot of people, and for me too, is like the amount of pieces in here and the amount of question marks that all of them have. Because there's the only, I guess, two proven pieces would be Timo Meier and Janssen.
Yeah.
Like those, and I mean, I guess Sutherland or whatever has played a couple. He's played some games, but still, you're not like, he's not a replacement. No. Like, you're not looking at him as like, oh, we got a Timo Meier back in 3 years. It's not the same.
No. Yeah.
So I don't know. It just seemed kind of, again, it felt like alphabet soup and you got one real piece there and the rest.
They did it way too early too. Like, I just don't understand. Like, there's no way that this deal wasn't still going to be there 2 weeks later.
I think you could have waited and gotten a little more, but
I think so too. I think someone would have come with a better offer. And like, I can't imagine that if you waited 2 weeks and then called New Jersey, they'd be like, whoa. We no longer want to do the two late firsts and Mohamed Doolin and Zetterlund.
Yeah, no, you're right.
They probably couldn't believe that you did that in the first place. They even cap dumped Andreas Janssen on them for like no extra charge,
which is impressive.
Yeah. So I don't know. This just makes New Jersey like that much better. Although I guess Timo Meier's had a couple bad games since he got there. But like, I don't know. Like,
he's had a couple bad games. Because sometimes I'll watch like highlights on the way to work, and I saw Timo Meier. There was a flip over. Like, somebody tried to long bomb it.
That was so cool.
And he just perfectly caught it on his stick, and then like curled around the defender or whoever was chasing him. I get it. He, even like going back to when they played the Leafs, he got the final penalty. Yeah. He was
He
sucked pretty bad in that game. But I mean, again, you're. It's not like you would have gotten rid of him if he had sucked this badly like before the trade deadline. Like,
I agree.
Like, you just take it as it is, and you hope during the playoffs he can get you like a game five overtime goal.
Yeah. 100%.
Like something like that, and you're happy, because right now, I mean, he's probably a little uncomfortable. He's not used to the team yet.
I think it's a good idea. And I mean, like, we'll see if they extend him in the summer. They might not. But if they don't,
then you
might get some stuff back. And then this will look even cheaper.
It might look even cheaper. If you can't re-sign him, then I guess the deal looks... I guess if you can't re-sign him and you have to kind of give him away, the deal looks not great.
Yeah.
If you can re-sign him,
it looks great.
The deal looks fine. Yeah. And if you can get rid of him and get some stuff back, the deal looks even better. So, that's going to be interesting to see. I think that's all going to depend on how well they do in the playoffs.
I agree.
I think that's how that guy looks at that. He's not just going to do it because he thinks New Jersey's a great place, because I've never been there, but it's New Jersey, and it's probably not great.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about this Tampa Bay Lightning trade, because this is just hilarious.
Oh, is it the Janelle one?
It is the Janelle one.
I was going to say, did they make any others?
I don't know, but they don't need to make any others.
No. Watch the Oscars. They were terrible.
And we're back. And just a quick update. The Panthers versus the Canadiens is now 9-4.
9-4?
Halfway through the second.
Are you watching this game while we're doing this?
No, I'm not.
You don't let me do that. So why
I just
are you
thought, let me check the score. Because it's probably not the same as last time I checked the score.
9-4?
9-4.
Wow.
And something else.
That's bad.
That is bad.
Well, what was it? Who was the team? Somebody got 10 goals for the first time this season.
The Stars did it against Buffalo.
Which was, I don't know. I guess I was kind of shocked that it was the first time, because the season's basically done. I mean, yeah. We got like 19 games left or 14.
Whatever. And it does tend to happen like once a year, twice a year.
You know what's funny is in my head it happened more often.
Yeah.
In my head it was what happened once a month.
Definitely does not have.
I know that now, but in my head, it was happening once a month.
Okay. Well, anyway, let's talk about the letting in 10 goals of the trade market, which is the Tampa Bay Lightning trading
10 goals.
Cal Foote, a first, a second, a third, a fourth, and a fifth for Tanner Janot.
You know, to me, you know what the craziest part of that trade is the first.
The first is easily the craziest part.
The Cal Foote, you're like, all right, I guess you needed to get a player off the, like, whatever, like, yeah, like contract wise, that's fine.
That's all good.
It also seemed like he wasn't going to play much because of how deep the defense was.
Yeah.
But then the first, like the second, you're like, I guess it's piling on with the third, the fourth, and like, but like the first, I was like, you're really giving up a first for this guy?
It's ridiculous. Can I give you an actual quote? This is a real quote from an anonymous NHL scout.
Okay.
So he asked to be anonymous, but he's a real NHL scout. And this is his actual quote. He said, "What the actual fuck?"
Where did they get this guy to quote it? Like at a bar? And like
a couple pops in.
Yeah, like, what are you, nuts? Why?
Five picks.
And a player
for Tanner Janot. So Tanner Janot, obviously last year, burst onto the scene, had 24 goals in his rookie year. He's 25 years old. And people were like, wow, you know, look at this guy. He hits a lot. And he scores a lot of goals. And
he
what
fights,
a great player.
And people loved the fact that he would drop the mitts. Like,
yep. And this year, with Nashville, in 56 games, he had 5 goals and 14 points. And in 9 games with the Tampa Bay Lightning, he has 0 goals.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. That's actually a good point, because now we can look at it retrospectively and kind of see how many, how they're doing with the other team. But that's bad.
0 goals. So, yeah.
Well,
they traded 5 picks and a player for a fourth liner.
From Nashville's point, you're just like, hey, this guy's going to be a stud. Like, the sell job for them was probably pretty easy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, they go, our team sucks. Last year, we were in the playoffs. Yeah. That's probably what they said was, like, on a playoff team, this guy is putting up points and goals. And now that we're a little worse, he's not doing so well. But that doesn't take away the fact that he had 24 last year. Like, that's the stats you should be looking at. And Tampa went, sure.
I just feel like Tampa, like Nashville must have, like, they get to see this guy every day. You know what I mean? They watch all his games, obviously. They're there for all the practices. And when they got an offer of 5 picks for him, they must have been like, you have got to be fucking kidding me.
Well, I mean, it's funny because I wonder if like they started with the five picks, or if Nashville drove it up to five picks. Like,
I mean, either way, Nashville. Nashville. I mean, you got to give them
so much credit. Nashville's laughing. But could you imagine, like, you get the call and they're like, and it's Tampa, and they're like, "Hey, we would like to give you five picks plus a player," and for Terrence, you know, you're shitting your pants. But if you had to work for it, like,
I mean, but even then, they were probably starting at like three picks and a player.
Well, it's like
let's see how much these idiots are going to give us.
It'd be like in Austin Powers when Dr. Evil goes $1 bajillion. Yes. That doesn't exist. And he's like, well, you know, you got one choice and that's to get it. And then they call him back and they're like, we got your money, but it wasn't easy. Like, that's kind of probably what happened. They're like, hey, I don't know why, but we have all five picks and you can have them.
They just traded an entire draft class for Tanner Chanel.
But again, if they win the cup.
I know, but five goals.
Is he a UFA after this?
No,
he's probably an RFA.
I'm assuming they have some element of team control because.
Well, that's the thing, is if it was literally 1 year and.
No, that's just too insane. There can't be. I mean, even they wouldn't.
There has to probably be some long term.
As stupid as I think this, yeah, he's an RFA after this year.
So he's not signed.
No, but he's under team control. And also, how much money is he going to be able to realistically demand when he can't score?
Yeah, that's a good point. They'll probably get him at like a cheap deal, and he'll fill up their bottom.
I mean, he's on $800K right now, so. There you go. Oh,
God.
This is insane. And, like, I don't know, man. We'll talk about Boston, I guess, because, like, they made a big splash. I'll do them next. But Boston, I was worried about before the trade deadline, and now I'm like, holy shit, this is one of the best teams I've ever seen. Tampa, before the trade deadline, I was starting to get kind of confident that the Leafs were going to beat them. And after we got Ryan O'Reilly and Nola Chari and all these different guys, and then they acquired Tanner Janot for five picks, I feel a lot better about that whole situation.
You know when I'll feel better, Ramson, is when we beat them. You're right. I think it does help.
I mean, like, look at it this way. Even, like, take the Leafs out of the equation. If Tampa plays Boston, you're definitely looking at, like, this trade deadline and being like, well, I probably would have picked Boston before, but now I'm definitely picking Boston.
Right, right.
All right, let's talk about Boston, because they made two trades, and both of them were great.
They really were.
So, Tyler Bertuzzi to the Boston Bruins for a first and a fourth. Miles. Tyler Bertuzzi is possibly one of the most Boston Bruin players ever.
Yeah.
I was almost, like, surprised he hasn't already been on the Boston Bruins for, like, his entire life, in spite of knowing that he played for the Red Wings.
Well, you know what's weird is, like, I don't know about you, but it kind of came out of nowhere, right?
It came completely out of nowhere, yeah. I didn't see this coming at all. I thought
that they were going to keep him.
So I know that they have some injury problems that kind of led to this a little bit.
Boston with like Taylor Hall and
yes, this is their Taylor Hall replacement,
I guess. But isn't and he
Nick
to be
Foligno
back for the
went.
To,
Nick Foligno's out too. You know, like this is what this was.
But isn't Hall supposed to be back for the playoffs?
I don't think so.
Oh,
I think Hall might be done for the year. So I think that's a big reason why they went and did this.
Because I was like, in my head, I thought, why would a team that is already basically clinched a playoff spot need regular season help?
Yeah.
If Taylor Hall's coming back, but he's not coming back.
He's not, no. So I think that's what this move was. It was their Taylor Hall replacement, which is not bad. Taylor Hall's better, but, like, I don't know. Tyler Bertuzzi's pretty good. This year, he's not having a good season, by the way.
No.
I mean, I do have to point this out after we just roasted Tanner Janot. He has 2 assists in 5 games with Boston, no goals. And in 29 with Detroit, he only had 14 points. But, I mean, the year before, he had 30 goals. So,
yeah.
I don't think he, like, forgot.
Wow, but, you know, Janot did.
That's true. I'm just not sure Janot was ever that good, though.
No, you're right. You're right.
With Bertuzzi, there's, like, years of him being pretty good.
No, you're
with
right.
With Janot, there's,
right.
like, one random year where he was awesome.
Yeah.
But this isn't even the good Boston trade. This is just one of the Boston trades. Because the good Boston trade was they traded for Dmitry Orlov and Garnet Hathaway for Craig Smith, a first, a second, a third, and a fifth. So this was basically their Ryan O'Reilly trade.
Yeah.
When you look at like the prices and whatever. And Garnet Hathaway is like the Noel Achari.
Yes, and they both filled a need for their team.
Absolutely.
I mean, because he's been lights out with the team so far, right?
Orlov?
Yeah.
Orlov has been amazing. He has 11 points in 9 games.
For a defenseman.
He's been absolutely unbelievable. I'm not even like, I think they just lost to Chicago, which is hilarious. But before that, I think they hadn't lost a game since he got there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that is very funny that they lost like the worst team in the league. But also, like, I mean, that's the only time they've lost.
Well, I mean, and I know this just because it's Washington. Did you see Sandin get his knee clapped in?
It was sad. That make me sad.
That bummed me out.
He'd been doing well right up to left game, and then he had a bad game, and then he got injured. That was a bummer.
Well, but Washington is so everybody talks about how Ovechkin, but you can't sell while Ovechkin is still
trying to get the record.
And still putting up what? He's at 30, isn't he?
Yeah, and they don't want to trade Ovechkin either. So the only way you can rebuild with him is if you trade him, and they're not going to trade him. He's going to play in Washington forever.
No.
Because he's Putin's spy on the U.S. government, and Washington is the capital.
Yes. Everything Ramsden is saying, I agree with, but if you're going to charge anyone with war crimes, do him.
He has 37 goals.
Wow. I did not know it was 37.
Yeah.
So there you go. Like,
that's almost like, you know, it's a little over half of a McDavid.
it's half of a McDavid.
Sorry, Obi.
Yeah. But that's the thing, is like, it just shows like how much of a mutant McDavid is.
Yes.
But also the fact that Ovechkin's, 35?
Yeah. Older, I think. But yeah.
36? He's up there.
Yeah. This is, by the way, the pick they got in the Orlov trade is the pick that they traded to the Leafs for Rasmus Sandin.
Right.
So, like, when you're looking at it from the Washington side of things, it's Craig Smith, who I think was just kind of a salary dump. Although, like, he's not a bad player. They just
don't. He's not going to.
Yeah. And then it's Sandin, a second, a third, and a fifth, which is pretty good.
Yeah. And you lost Gustavsson.
Yes. But, like, I don't know. Like, he was probably going to leave anyway in the summer. So
whatever. We love Gustavsson. No, I'm kidding.
You want clappers 4 feet wide of the net? We got him.
Well, it's funny because when, like, he scored a hat trick against us, against the Leafs.
He did.
Earlier this season. And you're like, watching it from the outside,
happening?
Watching it from the outside, you're like, oh wow, like that guy. Oh,
really? Because I thought, like, am I on mushrooms right now? What's going on right now?
I wish I was, but I watched that game and it was real.
Yeah, basically, the Boston Bruins are the best team in the entire NHL. They were before this trade. They're even more the best team in the entire NHL after this trade. The world is evil. We can't have nice things. Boston's going to win the Stanley Cup. And
well, if you're a Bruins fan going into the playoffs, you are rock hard.
Oh yeah.
I
would just assume your penis that my team is going to win.
No, because that's the thing, is like you have the most points so far in
by far
the last Like they're killing it, right?
By far.
Like Tampa in 2019, I think, was up there.
Yeah. The year they lost the Blue Jackets, which, like, you know, let's just say that quietly, because, like, I feel like if we don't talk about it enough, maybe it'll happen to Boston too.
It was a sweep.
That's a up to the minors deep cut.
But I thought you wouldn't remember because you ignored it. You ignored it for like 2 seconds, so I thought you weren't going to remember it. But I'm glad you did. No, it's one of the best teams so far, like in the last at least 4 years.
They have 105 points.
105 points is a lot of points. It's probably more than I can count to.
Yeah.
And Pastrnak signed for, what is it, 11.5? 11.25, yep. Whatever it was.
Eight times whatever. Yeah, 8 years.
11 point something.
The full boat. 8 years at 11.25.
There you go.
After his 6.666667 contract, which the 666 is very Bruins appropriate, to be fair. That's very on brand.
Well, the fact that this guy signed for a contract with 66666 is so weird. I had a roommate once in college who whenever we went anywhere, like, and he would buy something. If it came, like, one time I was with him, it didn't happen often, but I think it happened like twice in like the year that I knew him. Anytime he bought something and it popped up 666, he's like, oh, I gotta buy something else. He would go out of his way to buy another item because he's like, I can't pay. Like, I don't want that. I don't want that bad juju. And I was like, what are you talking about?
David Pastrnak doesn't give up.
No, he doesn't. No, which is weird to sign a contract with that many sixes in it, but
yeah, well, he plays for the Bruins. He was already making a deal with the Devil, and it just kind of made sense that's what it would come out to. Yeah. I guess we can talk about one more trade. So let's do the other big trade that was such a massive trade that we've now all forgotten it even happened. And that is Bo Horvat to the New York Islanders for Atu Ratti, a first, and Anthony Beauvillier. Did you remember that this happened?
Of course. Yeah, of course.
It's all about Engvall mania down there on Long Island. And meatball subs, obviously.
How's he doing? How's Engvall doing?
Pretty good.
Is he?
Yeah.
All right.
Scored the other night.
Really? God. Yeah. You know what's funny is I haven't even seen like a picture of him in an Islander jersey.
It's still not entirely sure it's even happened.
So I feel like it'd be, I feel like when I see it, I'll be like, no.
This is what's so funny about the Islanders fans hating the Leafs because of John Tavares, because, like, I legitimately don't remember that the Islanders exist, like, 90% of the time.
You kind of ignore them. I agree.
And then when they pop up, I'm like, oh, they're fucking boring.
Yeah. But
their fans are gross. And I've never seen a woman attend a Long Island game. Okay, all right. Let's continue.
And keep it rolling. We can edit that post, right? No, I'm kidding. That happened, what, like a month and a half ago?
Yeah, it was a long time. It was before the All-Star game.
Which was so funny how they made him play for the...
with Pettersson?
The Western with Pettersson.
Yeah, it was sad.
Why would they do that?
I don't know, because they're fucking weird.
It just seemed odd to like force him to do that.
Because the All-Star game and the way that the NHL does it is kind of dumb. And like, I don't know, they don't really have a plan for stuff like that.
Yeah, that's fair. No, you're right. They're, if anything throws them off whatever plan they kind of already had,
yeah,
they're like, well, we're not going to change it now.
Also, and this is like a weird thing to say because like they obviously both deserve it because like Bo Horvat was like second in the league in goals at one point.
Killing it.
And like Elias Pettersson is one of the highest scoring players in the NHL this year and is having an absolutely amazing season. But like it does seem weird that like the Vancouver Canucks are one of the worst teams in the entire NHL and they got two All-Stars.
Yeah.
Even if they did trade one of them away.
Cause like even was that was before the firing of Bruce Boudreau? They traded him and then they fired him.
Yeah, they did. They traded him first.
Right, so they traded him, and then they fired him.
Ooh, we should, yeah. They did our boy dirty, by the way. Like, I know we haven't discussed it on the podcast, because, like, we weren't podcasting at the time, but I know you and I were both absolutely furious about how dirty they did our boy, Big Percy B.
He was, like, crying.
Yeah, it was absolutely disgraceful. Like, Bruce, there it is forever. The Up to the Minors podcast stands with Big Percy B, who named our show. And we love him forever.
God, that's so funny. I forgot about that.
We love him forever.
You know what's funny? Is liked him. I just liked him because that. But I forgot that he wrote the book that came up with the name.
That's right.
So we all...
Bruce,
we
there
all
it is, baby.
The one more time, Ramps. There it is. Sticking up my butt.
Yeah, and if we ever make any profits, we'll owe like 1% of them to Bruce Boudreaux.
Do you think that's how that works?
No, I don't think so. He's not getting a dime.
he's not getting a fucking cent.
No. See, like, as dirty as Vancouver did him, and how much we're shocked and appalled by that. Oh yeah, bury him. Don't come for us, Bruce. You don't want this smoke. Hey,
you know, dude, my friends fight in their front yard in Canmore. You don't want this smoke.
You don't want it. So there's two things that are funny about this trade. The first is I was very confused about what the return was. I mean, Atu Ratti seems like he's pretty awesome for like a second round pick, but he's a second round pick. The first is a first. And why did they want Anthony Beauvillier exactly?
I have no idea.
Just seems weird. Not really sure what's going on there. On the other side of things, for the Islanders, they did this before the All-Star break, super early, because they wanted to give Bo Horvat time to make them better so that they could make the playoffs. So
they could actually do it. But there's that's smart to do if you're a team on the outside, where you're like, we're going to make this big trade and it might pay off because it'll help us get to the playoffs.
And because Washington decided to tank, it might work. But
isn't Pittsburgh on there?
Pittsburgh is also in the playoffs, yeah. But
Pittsburgh's on their heels, right?
Pittsburgh's ahead of them. And they're 5 points ahead of Florida, but Florida has 3 games in hand. And they're probably beating the shit out of Montreal even worse than they were last time I checked. So I'm going to go ahead and assume it's going to be closer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, will they make the playoffs? I would say maybe. And if they don't, yoo-pooey.
What? Because Horvat's got to be signed.
So they did sign him. It's eight.
Oh,
times,
right. Sorry, you're right.
Eight times 8.5.
See, it's funny. You forgot the trade happened, and I forgot they signed him. I didn't forget. You didn't forget they signed him. I didn't forget the trade happened. So it's.
According to Lou. When they asked him what the contract was before he released the details, yes, he said too long and for too much money, which is probably exactly what Bo Horvat wanted to hear.
Well, I thought it's funny because I saw that again. It was a while ago, but I saw that and I was like, oh, that'd be like you getting a raise at work and your boss being like, well, I'm not happy about it.
yeah, exactly.
And you're like, well, what the fuck is it going on here? Yeah. So, but I will say he chuckled after he said it. Yeah. So you're like, oh, maybe he's just, you know, poking fun at
being Lou
reporters. But I agree. It was an odd thing to say about a player you just gave $8 plus million to for 8 years.
That team really confuses me because it seems like they're trying to be like the seventh best team in the East like every year. And I don't get why that's like a goal to shoot for.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. A very weird team.
Well, they're a playoff style team.
Oh.
Right, Ramsden? Are they? You've heard that before.
I have heard that before. That actually just means boring. And they're not really a playoff style team. They just played the Metro, where all the teams kind of sucked for a couple years. And they kind of got lucky. Mm-hmm. And Barry Trotz was amazing. Barry Trotz, who no longer works there.
And is the GM of
Nashville. Yeah. Isn't that something? So that can be the last thing we talk about before we leave, even though we're not even like halfway through this list of trades. There's so much crazy shit that happened. We haven't talked about the Rangers. We haven't talked about the Senators. We haven't talked about Ryan Reynolds. We haven't talked about whatever Ryan is Reynolds. Going on with Jonathan Quick.
Wait, what happened with Ryan Reynolds?
Oh, and how he like might buy the Sens or whatever.
Oh, right. Sorry, yes.
We haven't talked about Jonathan Quick and that whole crazy
Listen, we'll, you know.
Don't even know what's going on there. But let's talk about how weird it is that, you know, we were all waiting to see what team Barry Trotz was going to sign on to coach. And he turned down Winnipeg and he turned down someone else. And then he became a GM just randomly right back where it all started for him in Nashville.
Well, I saw a few people be like, no, that makes sense. And I go, what are you talking? Like, it's one thing. So Briere became the GM of.
And we didn't talk about how much of a dick his son is. See, like we there's so much stuff that's so much stuff that's happening.
Did you see the video? His son is a huge dick.
Yeah. So I mean, let's just mention that like he's an asshole. He pushed a wheelchair down a set of stairs. And I think I speak for pretty much everybody that like if I saw someone do that, I'd slap the shit out of them, regardless of whether or not I had any connection to the wheelchair or the person.
Yeah,
I'm like, just be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, are you out of your fucking mind?
It just seems like an odd response to seeing a wheelchair by a set of stairs.
Yeah, crazy. At least there was no one in it, I guess. But that's about the only good thing you can say.
Well, could you? If there was someone in it, he'd be in jail.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like that's the only difference. But pretty no, fucked up though. You're right. It's a stupid move. That's the only time, you know, I always talk about, you know, just talk it out. But I would much at that point, I'd go full Jordan Binnington and lose my mind on someone if they pushed a wheelchair down a set of stairs. Like, terrible. That's just stupid.
Why? Would anyway, you were talking about Danny Briere. He became general manager.
Sorry. He became general manager for Philly. And everybody's like, that makes sense. He's been working hard. He's been doing A, stuff. B, and C,
yes.
You know, he's been working with the juniors team and whatever, the ECHL.
Yep.
And then Trotz became the GM of Nashville, and everybody's like, it kind of came out of nowhere because he hasn't been doing anything for the last year. Yeah, it's not like he's been like practicing being a GM.
He's also never been a GM.
Also, he hasn't been a GM. Also, all he's done is coach.
We have like no reason to suspect that he'd be good at it.
Yeah, like it just seems like he's kind of being thrown into this because who's the guy that left?
David Poile.
Poile, that's it. Poile left. David Poile leaves, and they're like, "Oh, we'll just throw Barry Trotz in." That makes sense.
We'll give it to his buddy.
Well, they're also friends, right?
And worked together for God knows how many years.
Right, but that's what I mean is like it's not nepotism because they're not related, but
definitely weird. Yeah. I get the like Barry Trotz returning to Nashville part of it because he obviously really liked it there and stayed there for like what was it like 12 years or something crazy. Like I get all that part of it. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why they just made him the GM out of nowhere.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's like, you know for a fact, he's a really good coach, and you also know that he's never been a GM before. So how are you not trying to make him your coach instead? Like, what?
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
I'm just lost. Well, I guess we'll he's learning he now, though, right? Because technically David Poile is staying on for the rest of the year. And I think Barry Trotz is going to, like, I guess.
Well, they did it before the trade deadline, right?
I don't even remember when it was, but yeah, probably. I hope so, because at least then he'll actually get to watch like
that's what I mean
a little bit of stuff happening because yeah, some trades don't do anything now.
Watch them trade Granlund to Pittsburgh and Ekholm to Edmonton
and Niederreiter to
Winnipeg. Yes, see, we just banged out three trades right there.
Good for us. God, we're good at this. Well, I think that's about it. We'll call the podcast here. Since I forgot last week, do you want to sing us out?
Right, yeah. You know what's funny is I had one person tell me I forgot to do it. So
I forgot to.
I'm sure you can guess who that was. But it's Up to the Miners podcast. I got a heart out.